A Playlist Original.
Welcome to the Pilot Podcast,
where we watch the pilot episodes of TV shows to answer your question, should I watch this?
My name is Meetu.
And my name is BJ.
And this week we're watching Disney Plus's The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
So stay tuned to find out if Meetu wants to fly around like a bird or make amends for her dark past.
Okay, I guess that'll be a fun spoiler for everyone, so we'll find that out at the end. Though I have noticed we've done a better job of not answering those questions at the beginning, but then we forget to answer them at the end. So I apologize, listeners. We'll remember this one. Sorted past or flying. All right, Beach, let us know what happened in this first episode.
Sure. So we're following on from the events of Avengers Endgame, the movie, and we have Sam Wilson, the Falcon, played by Anthony Mackie, and Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier, played by Sebastian Stan. And now they're dealing with what's going on with their lives. In this series, we know they're going to team up and go on a new global adventure, testing their abilities. But in this first episode, we see them dealing with the repercussions of living their lives post-blip and actually having to deal with no longer being soldiers in a universal war. They are normal people with mental health issues, and at least one of them has a family that they have to resolve their issues with as they go back to normalcy.
It is interesting to watch the transition from everyone is on the same team and we're all fighting this one big horrible thing to, oh yeah, now that that big horrible thing is over, we're people with individual needs and it's not just surviving a blip.
Yeah, I can't be a superhero all the time.
So how did you feel about that? First, we have Sam, aka Falcon, played by Anthony Mackie. He is really throwing us into normal life. He's having some family issues. He's having trouble accessing a loan. He's wondering how to get better pay at his job.
I appreciate how they set up his character, especially with him addressing whether or not he would take on the mantle of Captain America. For those who saw Avengers Endgame, you know that it ends with Steve Rogers giving him his shield and asking his friend Sam to take up that mantle and be a new figure of hope for the world. He doesn't think that he's fit for that, and he gives away the shield and goes back to his life where we now get to meet his family. We find out he has a sister, he has nephews. At some point, he's lost his parents, and his family business did not survive well during the 5 years of the blip. And it's really important for us to see the more human side to these superheroes, because before this, all we saw Falcon really do was fight in battle. We got to see him do cool action. We got to cheer him on as he was taking on Thanos and a universal alien threat. But you peel that back and realize, okay, there's more to him. He has feelings, emotions, and people he cares about.
You're part of Marvel Hive, so you tell me, is he a big character? He never led one of the movies, right?
Correct. That's why he has his own TV show instead of a movie.
So this show is our opportunity to get to know him, because in the movies that you and my partner did take me to, he felt like something of a pinch hitter.
I think it's fair to describe both Falcon and the Winter Soldier as Captain America's sidekicks.
Got it. The Winter Soldier, though, he had a movie named after him.
Yes, he was introduced as a title villain, but then we quickly find out that he's actually Captain America's childhood friend and becomes his sidekick.
So for Real Housewives Hive, this is like if Marlo finally got a peach on Atlanta. This is Falcon going from friend of to main cast.
Except her debut as main cast is on like Bravo Plus and not Bravo TV.
True. True. Marlo, you're doing very well. Okay, so now we have a sense of Falcon. He is having family issues. He's broke. Apparently, you don't make any money being a superhero. He's having trouble even getting a loan, despite being recognized by the loan officer. I think that was the show's attempt at discussing race, of the difficulties for Black businesses to get loans. I think that was the attempt there. Now, let's go to Bucky, or the Winter Soldier, played by Sebastian Stan.
I thought that that was also an interesting revelation, where we've known he worked as an assassin his entire life, thanks to Hydra, aka Nazis, brainwashing him. But now we're starting to see more of what he's done. He didn't just kill Iron Man's parents. He's killed other people who have used him to get to power, even in present day. And now we see that that is traumatizing. When you're no longer brainwashed, but you're remembering all the things you were forced to do, it kind of has a negative effect on you.
Yeah, I can imagine being brainwashed into killing dozens of people and then fully feeling the weight of that later might be a little tough to swallow. As a superhero fan, do you care?
I do care. I think it is useful to see what's going on in the heads of these superheroes, what motivates them. And also, I like the slice of life moment for these characters. I don't want them to always be battling. I want to know, what do they do for fun? Do they play Battleship in a bar? Do they have a fishing boat? I don't want only that, but I think that is a good compliment to the action and high intensity scenes.
Before we do get to those action and high intensity scenes, I do want to give a shout out to Falcon's sister Sarah, played by Adeporo Oduye. She was so good in that role. She was just taking him to task, holding him accountable, being like, you can have that little shield, you can have all these little accolades, you can have all your friends that can fly and stuff. Ultimately, you didn't pay the bills here. I had to keep this afloat, and now you don't get to come back and make decisions here as if you have been here. And that to me was the most interesting grounding moment of the show, was her reckoning. I think that gave me the strongest glimpse into what the divide is like for people who disappeared during the blip and are trying to get their bearings, and for people who had to survive the blip and just scrape by with half of the world's population gone.
Exactly. That's one really cool thing that Marvel is now addressing in this series. It came up in WandaVision. It came up in Spider-Man. What does it mean for people to lose half of the world for 5 years? And then those people all come back one day. How do you cope with the fact that you've maybe accepted that someone is dead and now they're back in your life? Or you've accepted, I have to move on from that part of my life. And now they come back as if no time has passed and they want things how they were before.
That scene to me made me interested in that storyline. Otherwise, I didn't really care. And I'm not Marvel Hive, but I thought it was more compelling on WandaVision when they really drilled down into a single person's grief versus on this show. But then when Sarah let him have it, I was like, this is fire. I really like this scene, and I get the universe of the show now, and I get the stakes better.
And their conflict makes sense. They lost their parents. Their family business has essentially crumbled for the last 5 years. She's doing what she can to raise her two boys. And Sam has come back as if we just work together, we can fix this. When she has been working for 5 years and knows that it's not that easy.
I mean, how trifling to not have made a single dollar trying to save humanity and not asking about making a dollar. That made me think about all those scenes where they were all meeting at Stark Industries and Tony Stark's house and stuff. You were in wealth and couched in it, but you didn't have it, so you couldn't bring it home. Can you imagine going from like meetings in Tony Stark's apartment or whatever apartment?
His building.
In his building, in his home, whatever it is. And then going back to your failing tugboat business in Louisiana.
It did address a question that we've all been wondering, and I'm glad they brought it up. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of how it came up. But we see that at the end of the day, Sam Wilson is still just a member of the military. He's getting compensated same rate every other military service person is. And all of that time with Tony Stark and the Avengers, he probably got free room and board and free food, but that was it.
Which is wild. Tony and Pepper couldn't cut a check?
It's not that they couldn't, but
It's not that they couldn't. So we're getting distracted. Let's get back to the Bucky timeline, which I feel like leads to a little more action.
Okay. I want to start with his therapist, because I think that leads us into his storyline for this series. I thought it was really interesting that, one, his therapist is very aggressive, pulling out that notebook to threaten him, which I don't know why that threatened him. And also seeing that he's having these recurring nightmares and his moonlighting as a vigilante to make amends?
The make amends language was so interesting to me. That is the most compelling piece of that storyline. For me, it was Sarah grounded the moment in the Falcon storyline. And then in this storyline, the notion of making amends was fascinating. I only think of that in terms of recovery from substance use issues. One of the steps in some recovery programs is making amends. So making amends to those you've wronged, especially while you were in the midst of your substance use issues. So it was interesting that a similar approach is being taken because he wasn't exactly in charge of his mind. He was making terrible decisions and Bucky wasn't in the driver's seat of those choices.
But had to watch it and still remembers it all.
That must be so tough. And so when she used that language, that was the, as Oprah would call it, aha moment for me when I was watching his storyline. I was like, okay, now I care and now I get it.
I love that these side characters are helping you relate more to our superheroes.
Well, as you know, and for the very few listeners who are not Marvel Hive, I don't know much about these storylines. Y'all, BJ and I had a very embarrassing conversation off mic. He really explained a lot of who these people are. We don't typically watch these shows apart from each other. So when we watched it apart, I was just alone in an ocean. Just trying to figure it out.
We put the pieces back together for you.
We did. So for that reason, these side characters were very helpful to me. And if you're unfamiliar with this series, these side characters will be very helpful to you too, to understand what's going on.
That's a good point. So compliments to the writers for making it not just easier, but better for relating to the audience. So speaking of another side character, we also meet Yori, this really sweet old man that Bucky has lunch with every week. And we find out that he is making amends by getting close to Yori. How do you feel about that? And do you think he'll ever, in this 6-episode series, make his amends?
I saw that reveal coming a mile away. As soon as he was very sweet to this older man, I was like, oh man, there's going to be a devastating reason why this relationship exists, and it's going to make me so sad. I think it was good, though, in that, again, grounds the moment. He did something terrible, and for that, his amends is being very kind, being a helper, being a companion to this elderly man. It feels so uncomfortable as the viewer because you know the context of why he's doing this. So you want to be like, oh, this is such a sweet interaction. But then in the back of your mind, you're like, wow, he did something terrible to feel like he needs to do this. So it encapsulated his conflict in the show really smartly.
They're friends because of guilt. And only one friend knows that.
Only one friend is in on it, in on the foundation of their relationship, which is devastating and will devastate the other friend.
Yes, that revelation, I think it would end all friendships, but maybe they could survive.
Not all friendships are as strong as ours, Beej.
I'm not even going to do a hypothetical for that. Anyway, this is a superhero Marvel series, so how about we address the villain for this season? We learn from one of Sam's friends in the early parts of the episode, Joaquin Torres, played by Danny Ramirez, that there is this rise of a new organization called the Flag Smashers. And these are anarchists. They believe that during the blip, when people around the world were suffering, they let down national borders. And they want the world to go back to that state because they think life was better when we didn't have any form of nationalism. And we see one of their acts where they cause a riot in a city and they're using masks and they have someone with super strength on their side. How do you feel about this anarchist group being the primary opposition for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier this season?
I think it was a weird choice. And here's why. I don't know that in this cultural moment, defending nationalism feels like the right plot, even though that is typically the theme of these shows and movies. In the same show, they try to start addressing racism. That implies that there is a willingness or a want to interact with the world that we live in. So it feels strange that you're wanting to bring that in, but then still bringing up this concept of defending nationalism when we know because of recent news, what the extremes of nationalism can do. So it felt like a weird villain. I think they could have done better than that. However, the reveal that one of the villains was superpowered was really cool, and I think leads to a storyline where I wonder if he was another U.S. military experiment.
And I will say, to add on to the nationalism versus anti-nationalism storyline that they're growing, one of the things that even was outdated in the earlier movies is that Captain America does represent patriotism. That's what kind of symbol he was always meant to be.
He's America's ass.
He is. So I think that is lingering in this world. And so anti-nationalism is like the opposite of Captain America.
It is true that Steve Rogers is just the all-American guy. Whatever that means, he is it. But if your choice is to introduce a black Captain America and have his race acknowledged in the show, which I am of mixed feelings about. Part of me is like, acknowledge the world. I get why that's responsible. The other part of me is like, I would love to check out for 50 minutes while I watch a superhero show and not be reminded of some of the struggles in the world. But if you choose to bring that in, then you're opening a portal, to borrow some language from this universe, you're opening a portal into current day. And current day, I don't know if you want your villain to be people who are questioning borders.
Leading on that, especially with the idea of a black Captain America, what did you feel about the conversation between fellow Avenger James Rhodes, Rhodey, War Machine, played by Don Cheadle, along with the Falcon, after he publicly handed the shield back to the government?
Let me flip that question on you. Did you think that Don Cheadle was hinting to Falcon that the world needed a black Captain America when he was like, we need a new Captain America?
That's the vibe I was getting. I felt that Rhodey was disappointed that Sam didn't take up the mantle, despite whatever criticism he would get.
I agree. There was definitely a sense of disappointment. Like, you could have done this big thing, especially because they were in the Smithsonian. I thought the scene could have been more powerful if they were in the Black Smithsonian, but then again, they wouldn't have retired Steve Rogers' shield in the Blacksonian. But it definitely would have made it would have made for a cool backdrop.
It would have. And then they put it in that plexiglass case and then scooted on out to a different museum.
For the, like, let's put the thing here and then let's have this conversation somewhere more significant. I did go to the Blacksonian and I was almost kicked out by security because you only have a certain amount of time and you have a wristband that indicates what time you're supposed to leave. But I had to see the couches from Oprah and her dress from one of the finale episodes. And so I just like sprinted there with my friend and the security was like, y'all have to go. Y'all have to go. We were like, we're so sorry, Oprah. And so we went and looked at it and it was just, oh, it's so cool. It was like you could just see Oprah right in front of you because the dress was on like a mannequin that was like fitted to her.
She had a great exhibit when they did that whole special one just for her. I've only seen a fraction of the museum. Definitely recommend it for everyone as an aside. I think to be reasonable with how much of it you can see in a day.
Facts. You need to bake at least 3 days if you want to see the whole thing.
And go to the cafeteria. The food is so good.
The food is banging. Okay, Beach, we can't turn into like museum podcast nerds, even though we're a half step from there. So let's get back into the show. We keep almost talking about the villain and then we stop. And it's because it is not particularly much of a plot yet. We just, in the closing scenes, have a hint of some villainry afoot.
Yes, we know that something's going to happen with the shield. We know that the Flag Smashers are rising. We know that there's a criminal group called LAF. That's all they really say is just LAF. And we know from the teasers, we're going to see some old villains like Zemo. And we're going to see some old heroes like Sharon Carter, aka Agent 13. So while this pilot really was just about the emotional aspects of our two titular characters, we know that there's a lot more to come in the next 5 episodes.
We know Zemo and Agent Carter are coming.
Yes. So do you have any final thoughts, any final comments, any predictions or hopes for where this series will go with Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
I hope that they complicate the villain storyline a little bit so that it's not just super pro-nationalism, or rather, it's not just fighting people who are not for nationalism. But it does seem like there are some complicated things coming. As we discussed at length, Zemo might be a thing. So And then I also just want to add the note, Don Cheadle, I very much like you. I'm very attracted to you. Please hit us up. Ask the pilot podcast at gmail.com. You will find friends here. So with that said, BJ, what would you rate Disney Plus's Falcon and Winter Soldier?
I think you already know my rating. It's would watch again seriously because I'm so deeply invested in the MCU. I will say that this first episode was entertaining, the whole 40 plus minutes, but it wasn't on the level that I was hoping for the first episode, especially for a 6-episode series. However, because I have the background and previous experience with Falcon and Winter Soldier, and I know how fun their banter can be when they get together, and we got a really great action scene with Falcon in this episode, a cool action flashback with the Winter Soldier, I'm confident it's only going to get better. So that's why I'm comfortable committing to it seriously. What's your rating?
I have 2 ratings. 1, for any of our listeners, for any of you tuning in right now who want to keep up with the MCU, I believe you should watch this show and WandaVision to watch the movies and keep...
Well, Kevin Feige, the head of Marvel Studios, in an interview stated he does not want the Disney Plus shows to be required viewing for people who watch the movies.
But it adds razzle-dazzle, right?
Yes, it complements them, but if you completely skip WandaVision or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you will not be lost in any of the movies.
Okay, great. So my review still holds. For you tuning in, you, the Marvel fan, I'm speaking directly into your ears.
Listen.
These shows are that seasoning for you to enjoy the movies, have this further context, couch yourself further into this story. For you who are like me and you don't need extra seasoning, I think this show is fun. I wouldn't say would watch again seriously. I'd probably watch again casually. I will probably watch it as the episodes come out every week, but I don't know that I will remember to watch them unless you text me, which you probably will. Whereas for everyone tuning in who is Marvel Hive, I would recommend you watch seriously because I think it will add some interesting story and context for you.
I think that's fair. And I hope that it's similar to WandaVision where once we get to episode 2 or 3, they're going to really bring in something new and exciting that'll hook you.
True. That's true. WandaVision really picked up after a couple episodes. I just remembered the spoiler thingy. I can't remember your question.
Do you want to fly or do you want to make amends for your dark past?
I don't have a dark past.
That she's willing to admit.
I did wish every year for my birthday for the ability to fly. I should add, as a child.
But you would not wear the Falcon's equipment.
No, absolutely not. And I wouldn't do all the stuff he's doing where he was dipping in and out of helicopters and fighting bad guys. I would do the equivalent of a leisurely Sunday stroll, but just with some wings.
Lightly hovering over the sidewalk in your neighborhood.
Go down to my favorite coffee spot, fly down there instead of my usual walk, get my latte that I like from there.
How many stories high would you fly?
I would fly high. If I knew I were safe, I would fly pretty high. I'm not scared of heights.
Okay.
What would you do?
Am I like Falcon level equipment, or is this some fantasy where I can just fly like...
You're Nelly Furtado. You can fly like a bird.
Then I'd fly high. I'd race around. I wouldn't have to drive anymore.
Okay. We're in agreement. I always love when that happens.
So if you want to find more of our reviews and show suggestions, head to our website at thepilotpodcast.com and remember to follow us on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
At The Pilot Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and you can send thoughts, feelings, show recommendations to askthepilotpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.